Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Artists Helping Artists. We are the number one art show on Blog Talk Radio. This is Leslie Seda in South Pasadena, California, and I have my co-host. I almost called you a ho-coast.
A ho-coast?
Margaret
sounds terrible.
In Boston. How are you, my friend?
Everything is fine. I can't complain. Busy, but
fine.
Well,
let me think. Something major happened in your life in this last week.
That's right. We have a new baby. We have a new baby boy. And, you know, my son and daughter-in-law are, they're surprised that it's still hard because this is their second child. Of course, I think we could have told them that when you have a 2.5-year-old and you introduce a new baby, there's no shortage of upset. So everyone's walking around their apartment in New York City looking tired and happy, but, you know, sort of they're just trying to figure out what the new normal is. And honestly,
there is
so,
no normal.
So are the rest of us. Right, right. But, you know, it's one of those wonderful upheavals in life. So it's all good.
I had a three-year-old, a one-year-old, and a no-year-old, as I called Michael when he was born. And those first 5 years, I don't remember anything. It was like a complete blur. And I was working.
Isn't it amazing?
How scary is that?
I know, and they keep asking me questions, and I think, let's see. I try to remember. Yeah.
Well, all the answers have changed. That's the problem.
You know, I have news for you. The answers seem to change every 6 months. Remember,
mm-hmm.
they told us babies sleep on their tummies, then babies sleep on their sides, then now babies sleep on their backs. And it's like, oh, dear.
And it's
so
changed.
Anyway,
and what is it now? Out of curiosity, do you know?
Now babies sleep on their backs, except
oh, they do. Okay.
They all get kind of flat noggins from it. So
mm-hmm.
they have to do, there's a big movement. They have to do tummy time. And I don't know. So they put the baby on their tummy so they learn to raise their head up. And I thought, well, you must start that after a few weeks. No, we looked it up. You're supposed to start it as soon as you come home from the hospital. And I thought, it's like homework. It's like,
wow.
It's like
that's
homework.
Amazing.
But anyway, you know, there's a reason that you're young when you have children, and more power to them.
Mm-hmm.
We did our time, and we're just here now as backup. You just wait, Leslie Seda. You just wait.
I know. I'm waiting patiently. My youngest,
it's
I was
exhausting.
Telling Margaret, trying to have her feel sorry for me, that my youngest is in France for 8 to 9 months.
Amazing.
I know.
Well, I have no doubt. I don't think I've spoken to you since you came back from Taiwan. You
mm-hmm.
know, France is just a hop around the corner for you. It's
an 11-hour nonstop flight to Paris and then a 2.5-hour drive to Chamonix. Although my son is in Paris this weekend with some of his teammates, so I'm very excited for him. So it's good. It's his dream.
Isn't that great?
It's good,
what an experience.
But it's just hard. When I realized no Thanksgiving, no Christmas party, no Christmas, he won't be here. That just about kills me. So I just might be taking my entire family to France for Christmas.
Yeah, adopt me. I'm trying to figure out if we can go to the Thanksgiving Day parade. That's my big plan. I'm thinking I can get out of cooking for everyone and get to see a giant, you know, Snoopy.
Wow. So two things before
we'll
we start. First,
goes.
I want to say
yes,
to the Hurricane Harvey victims,
oh my gosh.
It's so, so traumatic. I can't even believe what happened. And now we're dealing with Irma coming in through Florida. And did you read that 95% of the buildings in St. Martin's and the island of St. Martin were destroyed? 95%?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw hospitals were wiped out. This is, you know, here's the hope for Florida, is that there are such,
everybody learned.
There's such beefed up building codes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we used to always design to a 100, you know, whatever the worst flood was in 100 years, that's what you designed to. And then there were safety factors and all that. But because there's so much new construction in South Florida, they really are better constructed with the thought that, I mean, I'm not sure anybody's counting on 185 mile per hour winds, but at least it's Oh, well, it's dropped. Good. But at least those buildings, I mean, there was a plan and they had, you know, lots of warning. And I thought Florida was doing an amazing job of helping people get to safe ground ahead of time. So I have my fingers crossed that they won't. Yeah.
Well,
I just
CNN
hope that everyone
morning.
Is safe.
And
well,
I was watching
how was
CNN,
it?
And the governor was like, get out. If you're in Miami, mandatory evacuation, get out. So they interviewed this guy. Mm. He's a young father. They have a 4-year-old son and a 3-month-old baby or something, very young. He and his wife are staying because they live in an 11th-story. They're on the 11th-story of their apartment building. And the guy's trying to convince them to get out of Dodge because it's obviously very dangerous. Then the news guy comes on afterwards and says, 150 mile an hour winds. If you're on the 11th story, that's 197 mile an hour winds. And
yeah.
I'm just like, oh my gosh. Plus, did you hear about the 8.1 earthquake in Mexico last night?
I did.
It's like, what is
but
happening?
You know what? To focus on some good things, people are being so wonderful and generous. I saw a little Facebook clip this morning, a woman who went into Home Depot because her father's on oxygen and she needed a generator. And when she found out the last one had sold, she just burst into tears. And this complete stranger turned around and handed her his.
Oh,
and he
wow.
just said, and I thought, you know, people are,
there's
good in people.
Right.
And certainly we're watching a lot of people, I think in every state, you know, do what they can to help and to be really thoughtful about how we give and what we can do to help those people. So, you know, the good stories that come out are so heartwarming that you just have to, we just have to pray that everyone comes through, you know, safe and alive, and then rebuilding will be whatever it is.
You are so right. And I do believe that there are so many people on Instagram that are doing so many incredible things. I mean,
I know.
It's
such
so,
generosity.
It's so wonderful to see. And meanwhile, some of us are just doing the 30 and 30. Oh, for heaven's sakes, don't ever do the 30 and 30 when you get back like the day before it starts from Taiwan and you only have one painting painted. Can I just say that?
Oh, gosh.
Yikes. I am playing catch up so frantically. My husband
wanted
to go
to
the beach this week, and I'm like, no, I have to paint like 5 paintings.
You can paint at the
beach. I can't deal with this last-minute craziness. It's killing me.
Oh, gosh. But it's been great. I have to say I've been slow to start, but I've been watching beautiful, beautiful work. My goodness, people are producing. I just came back from a workshop. You know,
how was it?
I try to limit myself. Oh, it was unbelievable. I just want to give a shout-out because, well, I should shout to everyone. All right, for everybody who, you know, takes a ton of workshops, I want to say that I am judicious because it's sort of apropos of today's topic, because I can't spend a fortune. It would be unconscionable for me to spend too much money. And I also don't like to have too many what I call voices in my head as I paint. Do you know, I mean, it's all about developing your own style. So I went sort of reluctantly because a good friend wanted to take a workshop from Coley Wisson. All right, I thought it's drivable. What an incredible teacher.
Oh, wow.
We had the most remarkable experience. And I am so fired up. I feel like I learned things, or often the case, you know, maybe you need to be ready to hear it. But there was just so much that resonated with me. Didn't hurt that we had 4 out of 5 days were perfect. One day was rain, and I was ready for that. But no, I just had a terrific, terrific experience. And I kind of feel like a kid going back to school in the fall. It's the right time for me to learn something. And, yeah, it was just great. And now I kind of wish I could wipe my calendar clean, but, you know, that's not reality either. But anyway, great time. Land Grove Inn was phenomenal. People were from a lot of Canadian folks came down for this workshop.
Oh, wow.
And it was just really fun to have this mix of people there and studying with, you know, this guy from Australia. So it's all good. And I always have this fantasy that I'm going to run into Richard Schmidt or Nancy Gusak because I'm up there in their neck of the woods. So far it hasn't happened, but I just want you to know I keep my eyes open.
Margaret, when are you coming to Los Angeles?
Oh, yeah, I am coming. That's for real.
Yeah.
Isn't
it like
I'm coming
next week or something?
No, God, no.
It's October?
I'm coming at the end of October. And if not around, don't worry about it. And if you are, that would be grand.
No, we already talked about this, but I don't have the dates written down, so I want to write them down.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
I'm going with my daughter, and what a hoot that will be.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like a bride who gets addicted to calligraphy. So we've got we've got a plan, Leslie. We have a plan.
I'm so excited for you.
I love it. I love it. So, yes.
Well, we are
going
to get to this show, I promise.
I think
but,
is
but
thrilling. This is
I have to say one more
good
thing.
Timing. Oh, what?
One more thing. I'm 69 mm-hmm. followers away from reaching 20,000 on Instagram. So if anyone's listening to this show, go to
so
at my 100-year-old home and follow me.
Please, everyone, let's just follow her. Let's get her followed so that she can. That is remarkable. That
Isn't
is
that
unbelievable.
Crazy?
I'm going to look because you and I started. Of course, I do nothing to make mine out there in the sphere, and I think I'm probably at about 405. We started
mm-hmm.
this little page the same day, but that is
in February.
Amazing!
I know, isn't
20,000. It's got to be some sort of milestone. Like they should put yours in bold or something.
No,
how can you be
there's
20,
people.
20,000.
69.
You must be posting.
And I'll be at 20,000. I'm super happy.
Okay,
can't believe it.
I'm at 408. Woo woo.
Good.
I love my 408 followers.
I love your 408 followers, too.
And your 20,000, I just plain old envy. That's
I'm not there
fantastic.
Yet. I'm 69 short.
Oh, come
so,
on. While
anyway,
we're
no.
talking, people are probably doing it just to get us to go on to the show because this is a good one. This was a great topic and so timely.
Okay, so we need to give credit to the topic to Bobby Heath, who was my co-host in, was that June when you were planning a wedding?
Yes, that was
and it. She came up with this idea of what to expect your first year as a full-time artist. And I'm sure at some point in time I'll have her back on the show, and hopefully I won't have used all of her good ideas she gave me for show topics. But I am seriously still jet-lagged. It's only been a week since I've been back. We did not have a show last week, which I don't think I've done. I think I've done that like once or twice before. But I was just,
these things
as
happen.
You know, I was focused on my every second with my son before he left. I was totally jet-lagged, way behind, cranky, hot, and it wouldn't have been a good show
and then you
anyway.
Came home to California wildfires. So, yes.
And got stuck in a California wildfire. For those of you that saw my Instagram stories, it was really scary. I was four cars away from the fire coming down the hill, and it was wild. But anyway. So this idea of what to expect your first year as a full-time artist is really cool because there's a lot of artists that listen to this show who I know are either contemplating moving to being a full-time artist or maybe they've
mm-hmm.
recently made the plunge to painting full-time. And maybe you're contemplating this in 5 years. But Margaret and I kind of got together, and this is way more recent for Margaret because she just did this recently. And I think I read somewhere you said 3 years, and I'm thinking I thought it was like a year
no.
ago.
It's 2 years. I am having
okay.
my 2-year anniversary, and I wish I had had a crystal ball so
mm-hmm.
that I could have planned better. So I feel like this is really, really good timing. And
yeah.
You know,
I want everybody.
Anyone who's listening will learn from some of my mistakes and some of my successes. And you, it's sort of like the 20,000. It's just, you just have this formula for hard work equals success. So here we go.
Yeah. Okay, so it's a difficult decision because it's a little scary to decide to do this. And so a lot of it has to do with timing. And there's so many factors in your life that have, you know, kind of go into making this decision. Your personal status, what your financial responsibilities are, where you are in your art career, do you have a development of some clientele? I mean, so many different things that come into it. So before you make the commitment, there's just a couple things I wanted to mention. And the first is you really need to kind of create and understand the whole budgetary side of this because you really need to figure out how much money this is going to cost you to do and figure out what you can do without a steady income. Because if you're going from a full-time job, which, Margaret, you did do, do you have another a spouse or a partner who can help you with expenses? Because I think you really need to figure out how long you can go with a non-steady income and for how long.
Mm-hmm. It's really true.
Yeah.
You know, sort of key to this, I think, is getting a grip and really understanding the cost of your art business. And so what do I mean by that? You need to make a list of what you buy and how much you spend in order to create art. Now, you know, it's easy to say, okay, I have all my paints and brushes, but a lot of that are consumable costs. Certainly, whatever you're painting on is a cost. And any equipment that you're going to need, I mean, just you need to really, this isn't just sit down and jot it. It's almost carry a notebook around because things are going to occur to you. I know everybody thinks this is a business expense, you know, if you're buying art supplies. And, you know, for a while, maybe, you know, you do have a partner who can help you kind of cover it. But if so, that needs, that cost should be carried in your household budget. I think what I'm saying is it isn't just like sitting down and producing art and the money comes rolling in. For a long time, it's an expense, and you've got to think about how you're going to cover it.
Right.
You know, the other thing that is critical is to really think about a work schedule. Because just because you suddenly have 24 hours a day that you think you're going to devote to your art, it doesn't mean you should. You'll burn out. You know, everyone needs to sort of think about how much time they want to give to art and how much personal time, family time, you know, time with your spouse or partner, all of those are really important to figure into your day. And, you know, if you're going to suddenly be painting up in your studio, trust me, the rest of your family is not going to just assume that you're going to skip dinner. I mean, if you have dinner every day as a family, make a decision about whether or not that's, you know, a priority. Because my guess is you're going to have sort of a group vote on that. Although, you know, none of this is out of the realm of figuring it out. You just need to talk about it first and make sure everybody's comfortable with what you choose.
So true. So the other thing is you need to understand expectations and kind of decide what the priorities, as you said, are. Because what does your spouse want you to do, as you were talking about, and make sure there's clear expectations. And so, like you said, if you cook dinner every night, then I don't know if you can necessarily stop doing that. It doesn't make sense. But you just need to understand expectations, because I'll tell you, one of the first things I remember when I did this, like, oh my gosh, I don't remember how many years ago it was, 5 or 6, when I went full-time as an artist. Number one, I didn't think I was working full-time. When my husband said, I think you should quit your job and do this full-time, the first thing I said to him was, oh, I've never not worked before since we've been married, which is completely a joke that I thought I wouldn't be working. Who knows where that came from in my silly brain, because it was quite the opposite. But a lot of people didn't treat me as if I had a job. And so I had a lot of people coming in wanting, let's do lunch. Can you do this charity thing? Can you do that? And you have to say, no, I'm working full time. I can't.
Right, right.
And it's really hard to do. And same goes with the family. Now, the flexibility, and we're going to talk about this, is amazing. It's like the best part of working for yourself. And that's really, really great to be able to have that. But on the other hand, just make sure that everybody kind of understands what the expectations are, and that, yes, you're not available 24/7 to do this, and that, because you're at home, you really need to paint. So
Right.
Yeah.
Somebody's got a vacuum. Maybe you, maybe not, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I have one sort of odd piece of advice that I'd sort of like to pass along. It definitely worked for me 2 years ago when I made this leap, and I've passed it on to a couple of friends who have either retired from their jobs or left their jobs, and it's worked for them too. And it sounds crazy, but I say for the 6 months before you leave your job, save every penny you earn. Now, yeah. Right, that sounds like, what? Why would I do that? Well, you know, you're about to go to a life that doesn't include a paycheck. And first of all, while you're still collecting one, it's kind of nice to see what that's going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, make the switch 6 months before you leave, save every penny, and, you know, a couple of things happen. Number one, if you can't manage financially, that will become apparent. But the other thing it does, a friend of mine recently said she was so glad she had taken that piece of advice, it gives you a little cushion, like a little emergency fund of sorts. As you adjust to a life that doesn't include a check, you know, automatically depositing in your account every 2 weeks or whatever it does, there's this wall that you hit where you suddenly, first of all, you freeze and you think, oh my gosh, I can't spend any money. I don't have any money coming in. But there are things you're going to want and need, and it's sort of nice to have whatever you've saved, and I'm hoping it's thousands of dollars, so that
mm-hmm.
you don't feel, first of all, you don't feel totally dependent on anyone else. And second of all, it means that you can do the things that are important to you at the time. So I think it's kind of a good exercise. You start to learn what it's like not to have the ability to buy things that you want as soon as you want them.
Right.
That's your practice time. And then it gives you that, it's a little bit of freedom, actually, during those first few months that you are hustling and doing all the things we're going to tell you you need to do in
mm-hmm.
order to have a successful art career. Now, I do have a tip I want to add at this point, and I feel really strongly about this one. If you have any major purchases that are looming on the horizon, maybe you have to delay your decision to depart the corporate or working world, but make those purchases before you leave your job. And when I say that, I mean everything from, you know, a new or newer car to a new easel. Something that nobody thinks about is that you need clothes for your new life. It's very different from the clothes
or
you clothes wore to work.
Or clothes for your social life, because all of your clothes will now have paint on them.
All of your clothes will have paint on them. You're not going to wear the things that you wore to work, those nice slacks. No, no, no. But you will need, like I always say in my closet, this sounds terrible, but I have something I can wear to a funeral. I have something I can wear, you know, out to dinner or to a cocktail party or a fundraiser or whatever. And then right now I kind of have a lot of, like, what I would call, like, play clothes, you know, painting clothes. But
mm-hmm.
you kind of need to think about that. If you've been wearing, you know, leather shoes and heels, before you leave your job, make sure you have some, you know, hiking boots or whatever it is you're going to be comfortable schlepping around and painting in, because it's like a whole new life. And I say, while you're working, stock up on art supplies, the basic ones. Make those purchases while you have an income. And here's the thing nobody ever thinks about. You stop work, there goes your dental insurance. Go get your teeth cleaned and anything else that needs to happen before you leave, because it's a big gap. I know a lot of people are covered under spouses or partners, but you just need to think ahead about the kinds of changes that are coming. And, you know, make it easy on yourself, because you don't want to stress about it after you've left.
So true.
What do you think?
Well, I completely agree, because financial pressures are probably the hardest thing anyone can possibly have to deal with. And I know what Margaret was just telling you may delay your departure from the working world, but you're so much better off doing it before you go. Really, really, really important. So let's
mm-hmm.
try to help you understand what to expect the first year. So the first thing
is
accept going into it that it's a big transition. It's going to take time to adjust. So if you're going from working in a full-time job with a group of people where you go commute to your job every day, you go out to lunch with coworkers, you have an expectation, you know exactly what to do because you've been doing it for a long time. When you become an artist, it's very different. It can be lonely. Again, it can be hard to be motivated. But I promise you, you'll figure it out. There are days when I'm in my studio where I'm giggling because I can't believe I get to do this for a living.
I know, it's so good.
And I'm just, like, throwing paint on the canvas and just so motivated and so happy. and so energized. But there's other days when my paintings suck and I'm like going to cry and I doubt myself and I wonder what am I doing and why am I doing this and I have a terrible job. And it's like you'd think I was a little bit invisible or something because I, my multiple personalities come out. But just know it's not you, it's the transition. It's different. But if you have the right attitude, it will and can be the best thing you've ever done. I am right now, and I'm actually painting a little less because I'm doing so much with my 100-year-old home, but I have never been this happy in my entire life.
Oh,
other than the fact
that
my son lives in France, and I'm totally depressed about that. But truly, it's amazing. It's really, really great.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing that changes is your outlook. Because before you were creating art and you maybe didn't have that financial pressure. You know, it was evenings, it was weekends, and it was something you could look forward to and whatever. But it's really important that you don't let this transition affect how and maybe even why you paint. You need to turn that, if you can, into a positive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, treat your schedule as if it is written in stone. It is as fixed as it was when you left your house to go to work. You know, I think it's essential, and this is such a hard thing, but don't allow interruptions. You know, you need to really beware of errands. The errands will destroy your productivity. Everyone I know who's made this transition says things like, I don't know how I got all of those these like really important little errands done before. And the answer is, well, you did, and you cannot let them rule your schedule. I've tried everything from, you know, Tuesday will be appointment day. Pfft, that didn't work. Now I try to say, I leave the mornings. I sort of go, okay, from the time I wake up, you know, whatever that is, 6, 7, 8, until 1 in the afternoon, I am not committing to anything. Now, for
good
me,
for
that works because if I put 5 hours in on my, you know, in my studio actually working, that's pretty good. And there are days when I can keep going and days when I have to take care of the business of life. But I actually had someone say to me when I first left my job, she was an artist, and she said, oh, good, now we can get together. And I'm telling you, in the back of my head, I thought, this is an emergency, because I realized that this was what I couldn't afford to do. I couldn't afford to have someone ask to meet me for lunch, because honestly,
mm-hmm.
every artist out there knows that's the kiss of death, your day is gone. So be very aware of interruptions and especially errands. Appointments will destroy your productivity.
So, so true. Okay, another thing is you are going to love your job. And this is what's going to happen in the first year.
It's true.
Because your art is now a job that you truly enjoy. We've all dreamed about it, and you're finally there. And just understand you're going to be really happy. Really, really happy. And you have to remind yourself how lucky you are to be able to work for yourself, to
yep.
earn a good living, and enjoy every single day. And that's a really important thing. I don't want to spend all of our time talking about the financial worries and staying motivated.
Right.
I want you to remember how happy you're going to be. So.
I have to say, one day my husband was having a terrible day at work. And, you know, whatever. He had a deadline,
yeah.
and we were talking on the phone. And I said to him, oh, I feel so guilty. And he said, why do you feel guilty? And I said, because I'm so happy. And he said, are you? And I was like, oh, my gosh, I have never been happier in my life. And you know what he said? He said, oh, my God, that makes it all worthwhile. I'm so – it was as if he didn't know. And I thought, ooh, I shouldn't keep this joy to myself. Like, he didn't mind working so hard because I was so happy. It was like this was part of the bargain. So it is – if when you pull this off, it is the most wonderful life.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean it's not work. And you need to remember, I mean, it is work, but you need to remember that you're not just creating art. If you need an income, that means you're running a business. So as much as we might not like this part, and I think a lot of artists don't really enjoy it, you need to be organized, and you need to understand you really have to do the business part. some people are lucky enough that they maybe have retired or retired early, and you know, their income isn't such an issue. But for most of us, you know, you kind of, I always joke about, you want the art to pay for the next purchase, you know, at Blick or wherever. So you do need to set up a financial system in advance. So, you know, you can really sit down or get in your studio and enjoy painting. And that way it's not like weighing on your mind. You're not going to worry about sales tax reports or filing expense receipts, because you will have organized yourself so that you know how to handle them at the time they're in your hand. And Lord knows we have done enough shows that have talked about easy ways to do this. And some of them are very basic. Sometimes it's paper filing, and sometimes it's, you know, something you can do on your computer, but no one can really afford to skip that step if they're looking at this as a business.
That reminds me, we missed August for our organizational. I totally forgot.
Okay.
Now we know what we're doing for the next 2 weeks. Whoops.
It's probably a good lesson for me, so there you go.
Okay, the next thing you can expect in the first year. Why do I feel like I'm saying what to expect when you're expecting?
Well,
every time I say this
we've
title.
We've been talking babies lately.
What to expect your first year as a full-time artist. Okay, is to manage your sales expectations and not have financial pressures. And I know we've talked a little bit about this, but financial pressures are really difficult, especially when you're trying to be creative. The two do not go along. I cannot paint something fabulous when I'm distracted and my heart's hurting, my mind's crazy. If there's something out there that I'm worrying about, I might as well stay out of the studio. It doesn't work. So don't set yourself up to fail by having too high of sales goals. Be realistic. Don't expect your sales to quadruple just because you're painting full time. It doesn't work that way. It does not work that way.
It doesn't.
Now, we'll talk about this, but if you're smart and you're spending a lot more time marketing as well as painting, then yes, I think you can get there quicker. But don't set yourself up to fail, because you got to be realistic.
Yeah.
Super important.
All right. Here's the thing. This took me a while. You only report to yourself now. And while this is really freeing, right? You work for yourself, that's great. It is an amazing gift. I love that I can determine my own schedule. I can plan a last-minute trip if I want to. I don't have to ask anybody's permission. I don't have to get anybody to cover for what I'm supposed, you know, to be doing, like I did at a job. You need to really, like, relish that freedom, but be careful. A lot of people who work for themselves forget to enjoy that freedom. They they forget that they, you know, while you work for yourself, my husband always said, he was a consultant, you know, he had his own practice, and he used to say, we eat what we kill. You know, it's sort of like, if you're not working, you're not bringing in income. Well, that's okay. You just need to plan for that. And if you don't enjoy the flexibility, I think you're really missing the boat here. It doesn't mean you don't work hard when you are working. Of course you do. But plan to enjoy that freedom, because it is one of the real perks of this job that no one can prepare you for, but it's wonderful.
You are so right. That is so true. Okay, we talked about not setting yourself up to fail by having too high of sales expectation, but understand financial security is not guaranteed. Now, I know a bunch of artists who went to being artists full-time, but they also had a little part-time job. Some of them did it for the benefits. Others did it just to kind of have that steady increase, you know, in income stream, because here's the thing. Since you don't have a guaranteed salary, what are you going to do if you have an unexpected expense? Like your car breaking down, the air conditioning breaks. Trust me, all of these things have happened in my life in the last week. So all of those things, you kind of have to get fixed. You don't have a choice. And so you don't want to be put in a position where you don't have a means to deal with unexpected expenses. So that financial security is not guaranteed, but I worry that we're spending too much time talking about this, but it is certainly a part of it. if you have a spouse that's working, it helps a ton. But I just think it's really a great opportunity.
Mm-hmm. And this is where even if you have to delay your departure from the corporate or working world, if you have that little nest egg, is what I'm going to call it, maybe that's a way of covering this. You know, it's important. And the other thing I know is that when you start to get a few sales, don't spend it. Live by that no spending rule. I should probably amend that. Spend nothing the last 6 months you're working, and spend nothing the first year you're on your own. I mean, it would be a wise artist who had a little emergency fund. But remember, this is your chance to be creative and try some new things. You know, working every day, all day as an artist is great because you can set aside some time to explore. And I think if you have some time or even maybe a little money allotted for playtime, never be afraid to try new ideas and new adventures, whether that's going to a museum you've never gone to, maybe taking a little workshop, maybe it's a new material. But, you know, remember, you can be creative. So embrace that side of it as well.
I love that. I love that. It's so important to be able to do that, especially nowadays. It feels like there's a lot of people changing kind of the kind of art they're creating or mixing it up a little bit, which I think is really exciting. I think that's wonderful. So
everyone I know mixes it up, it seems. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We mentioned that you're finally your own boss and how great that is.
Yep.
But don't forget that you are accountable to other people. It may seem freeing and happy and wonderful, but you do have accountability to most likely family, perhaps friends. Enjoy your independence, but don't forget that. They may have to suffer along a little bit with you, and they may not be too happy if you're having too much fun. So fake it. I'm kidding.
Yeah, right. I like that idea. You know, a lot of artists, how do I say this? They talk about marketing more than they actually spend any time marketing. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say marketing can make the difference, because sales are important, and whoever the potential buyers are out there are not going to see your art if you haven't put in the actual time to get it seen. And, you know, we've talked to enough artists. We hear it all the time. And I would say that it seems like the consensus is to spend at least 30% of your time marketing your art. And that can be right from the comfort of your own home. You should be using social media, even if that's just Facebook, but I'd love to see people have a more comprehensive approach. But the other thing is you can pick up your telephone or whatever, contact some previous buyers or even galleries. This is really important. It's not what we all fantasize about when we think about leaving our jobs, but this is the part that's going to give you the reward in your bank account that will keep you going. I mean, it's the practical side of it. So do not skip marketing. Just know it will be 30% of your week.
At least. I personally think it should be 50, but I decided not to put that in because I would scare everyone away from becoming a full-time artist.
True.
And it can be fun. Gosh, look at it. I think it's so much fun. I love it, as you know. But it can be really fun. And what happens when you spend a lot of time at it, you get good at it.
Yeah.
You figure exciting opportunities out for your art, and the whole thing just, it's like this rolling ball that keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger as you put more time into it. So just saying. Okay, the next thing is teach if you can. It is great steady income. You've heard me say this before. Many, many artists make more money teaching than selling art. If you can, teach. And there's so many different ways you can do this. You can hold regular scheduled workshops. You can teach classes at an art school. You can do one-day classes. You can do three-day workshops. There's so many things you can do. You can teach children. I mean, I would – really try to have that as a basis for your income, because it's super, super important. And it is a great way to take the stress out of being able to pay the rent,
mm-hmm.
and giving you the flexibility then to really be able to kind of maintain what you're doing. You've got the creativity. You don't have as many financial pressures. And I think it's kind of a win-win. So there's a good chance you're not going to be going to be a full-time artist if you've only been painting a few months. So hopefully you're at the point where you can teach. And you've got time now.
Well, you know, not everyone is a born teacher. And certainly, if it's not your cup of tea, that's fine. I mean, maybe you don't want to give quote-unquote art lessons or teach, you know, long-term. But you can do a one-morning class. You can do something that sort of, you know, is whatever your specialty is. I think it's a good time to be creative. But you're right. Having that income is awfully sweet. You also need to remember, you know, we talked a little bit about organizing your finances for your business. I think you need to remember that if you can set up a schedule, it really helps. It helps because it gives you something that you look at that you can be almost accountable for. It's the reminder that just because you are working in your studio doesn't mean that, you know, the number crunching and all the rest of it goes out the window. So when I say figure out what time you are, what time you're most productive, what time you're going to work, and I say you're your own boss, what it really means is you need to treat that day like a regular full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
And I know artists who actually have to sort of get up, get showered, get dressed in whatever your work clothes are, and set an alarm. Set an alarm to take a break, and maybe that's when you do your email. Set an alarm so you remember to get some lunch and get stuff done.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is that you can do to enforce discipline on yourself, in the beginning especially, will be really, really worthwhile. It's time well spent.
I agree. Great idea. Great idea. Next, get organized and stay organized.
I have a question for you. Let's go off script for a minute. About a year ago, you were talking about your new planner. I had bought a new planner as well. Did you use yours this year?
I do, but not near as much as I thought I would. Not near as much, which is okay, because I have a system that works fine, but sadly, not as much as I thought I would, which is kind of disappointing.
I know. That's it. It is trial and error, though. And for everyone trying to get organized, you have to see what's going to work for you.
But I am looking at all my plastic bins that are labeled with all my stuff in them in my craft room.
Excellent.
Which I'm super happy about. And I'm getting so organized and I'm throwing things away. I tell you, if anybody wants anything good, hang out at my trash cans. And don't think I'm kidding, because there's a lot of good stuff I'm just tossing. Because I'm just at that point where I've had it.
That's good.
Yeah, it's really exciting.
There's
so,
like
but
space.
Come up with systems, as Margaret kind of mentioned about on the financial side, but get organized and stay organized. I think that's the biggest problem with artists. We start out with this perfectly clean studio, and 2 weeks later it looks like a cyclone hit it because we've been in there painting. And so,
it's so true.
And the big four areas where you need to deal with this is sales, so you have a way to record your sales. Your expenses and supplies, make sure you can, you know, keep that organized. Your client stuff, which is your marketing. And also, I guess I should say marketing is the biggie, because you need to have a system when you finish a painting, what it takes to get that on your website. You need to figure out if you're going to do a newsletter. I mean, all those things, you just need to be organized and put these systems in place. And so then they kind of happen automatically, if that makes sense. Really important.
Really.
Yeah.
Really. And you
want
know,
them to become a habit.
I'm a big proponent of asking friends for help.
Yes.
Painting in your studio, you know, it's sort of, when I was in college, I was a swimmer. Swimming gets lonely because no matter, you know, you may be on a team, but you're in the pool all by yourself
Oh, yeah.
for a long time. painting in your studio is a little like that. You are in there, and yes, you know, you can get in the zone. It can be so wonderful. You're producing and producing and producing. But you need to be sure that you figure out a way to interact with, you know, certainly your non-artist friends, but it's really wonderful if you can connect with artists, sort of either people who are in local art groups, maybe mentoring groups or art shows. This is one of the best things you can do because, number one, you always learn something from a group of artists. There's somebody who figured out the answer to something you're struggling with. It's also sort of invigorating, you know. It's important, I think, to get out and do it. Don't just, you know, email or text message or any of that. That's fine for the quick hit. But if you're talking to other artists and you're seeing them in person, and, you know, I think this is where local art groups or organizations are essential. You visit with other artists, you are going to recharge your battery. So that's a form of help that I think will make your day, even if your painting isn't going well, it's going to make your day a lot more enjoyable.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with you on that. And I think there are so many amazing artists out there who want to help and want to be involved. So I love that. Absolutely do. Friends, for that matter. Okay, the next thing is, don't forget you can trade art for services. I think we don't do this enough. Be smart and see if you can trade your art to get some help with your art business. Trade some of your art for financial help. You need an accountant? You need whatever, a friend who's an accountant? Trade them some art.
Great idea.
Trade it for some art. Marketing help? Trade it for some art. I mean, there's so many things that you're going to need for your business that can be considered an expense. Be smart and think, hey, I wonder if I could find someone. Ooh, I know someone who, yeah, maybe let me try that. Maybe they'll take some of my art in lieu of cash compensation. So it's just like my husband came home the other day and said, there's a gal at work. She did a huge favor for me. I told her she could come to one of your workshops for free. I'm like, okay, no problem. Of course, I haven't taught any this year. And he's like, honey. I'm like, I said the other day, tell her I'll give her a private workshop for the day. No problem.
I was going to say, tell her to get herself to Cape Cod. We'll all have fun together.
So it's just a really great kind of asset that you have that isn't a cash expenditure. And try to think of ways that you can do some trading, if you will.
Yeah.
Art for help.
Yeah. I like it. Mm-hmm. So the bottom line on a lot of this is set some goals, you know. I think everyone needs to have painting goals. Maybe you want to complete a series. Maybe you want to come up with a painting that you can enter into a show. Maybe you just impose some deadlines on yourself that you're going to have 30 paintings in 30 days. I don't know. But painting goals are good. Financial goals, I think as long as they're reasonable, are good, and certainly marketing goals, because maybe there's that nice sense of accomplishment when you've actually contacted, you know, a handful of potential buyers or galleries or whatever. Just, you know, don't get into the habit of making goals that you can never reach. You need to modify your goals. I do it all the time. Oh, did I say 30 paintings? I meant 20 paintings in 30 days.
Which is totally
just
fine.
Just modify if you need to.
And,
you know, you'll get there. I have to say, it was about a month or so. It was in the summer, anyway, before I left my job. I panicked. I suddenly thought, I have this huge transition in front of me. I'll be at work, you know, Monday through Friday, and then I'll go home, and suddenly I won't go to work anymore. And how's that going to be? And what will I start with? I Googled and found an art workshop that was a drivable distance from me because I didn't want to spend money on airfare.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sort of looked for, you know, oil painting. I found a teacher who I actually had been curious to sort of study with. And that was a great way for me to make the jump from 9 to 5 to being sort of in my studio.
Right.
It kick-started me, kind of gave me energy to paint in a way I didn't before. And I think it's important to say I paid for all of it before I stopped working. So I didn't have to worry about the cost versus the fact that I wouldn't have a check the following week. When I came home from that workshop, I was fired up, and I actually felt really confident because I was sort of starting off this new life with a stack of new paintings. So
mm-hmm.
I would highly recommend that for anyone. I did it within 2 weeks of leaving my job. So
good for
it
you.
Was for me, that was a really great way to sort of mark the end of one sort of phase of life, really, and the beginning of another.
Are you glad you did this?
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
100%. The only, you know, I do wish I had, you know, the winning lottery ticket a few months ago. That would make all of this a lot easier. But would I trade it? Never. Never, never, never. For me, this is the first time in my life, and that includes, you know, I had some pretty happy years working, but this is the first time I can honestly say I understand the people who say they have a job that's not like a job. And that
right.
they love what they do, and they can't believe that somebody actually pays them for it. That's
yeah.
the way I feel. So, yeah,
well
worth it.
I want to offer a quick word of caution, and that is if you're leaving a job where you had health insurance and you're under 65, of course you have to take account the cost to insure yourself. And as I mentioned before, you know, you get a job at Starbucks, they have the best benefits for any part-time employee I've ever heard in my life. But you can do something that can save you so much money not having to insure yourself. Regardless, you have to do it. There's no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
yeah.
too important. There could be an opportunity for you to work part-time in an art-related field. I know Margaret said that many times when she's in line at Blick, she thinks that they could certainly use some managerial skills in the store. And all
do.
Those young
I
budding artists sometimes just don't get it.
They just don't. I stand there tapping my foot thinking, seriously, do you want me to tell you how to get this line to move faster?
I know. The key
anyway.
Is to know that there is a huge opportunity out there. Don't do it until you're ready. And it's just not when you feel ready. It's all the other things we talked about today, making sure that that part of it's ready. And then when you
yeah.
when you do, enjoy the process because it is about the journey and not the destination. And the journey,
yep.
I think you and I can speak firsthand, is absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
So.
It's yeah, the best thing I ever did. So.
And if you're in Florida.
Not the easiest thing I ever did, but the best.
If you're in Florida
oh,
or Houston
yeah.
or Mexico or where these next three hurricanes are going to hit, God bless you. And may you be safe and may your family be safe and take care of yourself. That's the biggie. The most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's right. We'll be waiting for the storm to pass. And,
that we will.
You know. Okay. Well,
mm-hmm.
Are you fired up to go into your studio now?
I am. I have so much work
good.
To do. I gotta get
I know,
ahead.
That's the way it
Killing
should
me.
Be. It's a good day.
Killing me.
All right. Well, excellent show. I hope we get some feedback on this. I'd love to hear from people who are making the leap.
Thank you.
All right, Leslie.
Well
done.
All right. Take care, my friend.
Have a good week. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.